Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Say goodbye to diluted creams and serums that are often made up of 70% water and 15% preservatives, leaving minimal space for the ingredients your skin craves. The scientists behind Fiber Skincare have spent 15 years perfecting nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. And just 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping these nanofibers around oil or liquid-based ingredients. The result was a formula that delivers 5 times more active ingredients compared to creams or serums with no need for fillers like water preservatives or emulsifiers. The first formulation made with this technology is a plant-based anti-wrinkle set of patches that you use over 7 days, applying them just like your favorite serums. Your skin will feel tighter in 10 seconds, and over 7 days, the program is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by 19.4%. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee where if your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they will give you your money back, no questions asked. Go to fiberskincare.com and use code UNFILTERED for 15% off. In this week's podcast, we got to interview the Lewis Howes, and oh my gosh, the story, his experience, his past, and how he's turned it all around is so interesting to listen to. Can't wait for you guys to check it out.
So when I got done playing football, I was like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I immediately wrote a list of my biggest fears, and public speaking was one of them.
Why is this not a book?
Well, I'm writing a new book about how to eliminate self-doubt, because I feel like self-doubt is the killer of dreams, and almost everyone has doubt.
Welcome to the new series, Cocktails and Conversation with Kat and Nat.
And we've decided to bring you all of these conversations with people that we like to have, where there's a little bit of wisdom, always hilarity and hilaria. Yes. Some famous, some just cool, some drink, some don't drink, but there's always a conversation.
Cheers, join us.
I have to call you out on one thing, okay?
Call me out on anything you want.
So, when we first originally talked, you were like, I'm not a mom. I don't know if they'll resonate with me. And the reason I said that, when I was like, huh, interesting, I was like, I think that's the crux of motherhood, that so many of us feel like people think we're just moms. But I'm like, we're actually humans. That keep,
you're a human being?
That we keep other humans alive. So we do what all of these people do that are moms, but then keep people alive while we're trying to do what everybody else is doing, which is so interesting to me that people have a perception that moms should be, they think differently.
But I took your saying, like, I'm not a mom, do you still want me? As like, you were just like, I want to make sure that, like, you're interested in what I have to say.
But why wouldn't they?
No, it's not that they wouldn't. I mean, 60% of my audience is actually women, so they must be liking something about...
I wonder why.
But I mean, I have a lot of great women on who are, you know, spiritual thought leaders and things like that. So for me, it's, I'm assuming they're resonating more towards, like, those women I bring on, I guess. But
can you tell us what you do?
just a human being.
He's taking my line now. He's like,
just a human being that all moms resonate with.
Perfect. Yes. And what do you do for a living?
That's probably worse than asking someone for a hug.
That's the worst.
That's the worst than asking for a hug.
We hate that too.
So I get the award for the worst question.
Yes, we do. We hate.
Did you call me out? I'm calling her out.
Yeah, we hate. Where are you? What do you? What's next? We hate. What's
the worst question? This is besides. What do you do for a living?
Okay, got it. What do you?
Those two things.
Why?
I try to never ask those.
Why?
So what do you do?
Tell me what you do. Can I actually?
Touching's fine. Quick, brief touches. That's enough.
You know, what do I do?
No, I'm serious.
I've been trying to figure out the best way to say it in a catchy one sentence answer. Okay. When someone asked me, "What do you do?" because I'd really rather not answer the question.
We feel the same way, by the way.
What do you guys do?
No,
we chat about mom stuff.
I think not, sir. Yeah, don't turn that around.
Yeah, yeah.
Question is for you.
I create content to help people improve their life is the main thing, and the podcast that I do, the School of Greatness, is kind of the main focus. But we run events, we do books. I've got courses, membership sites.
How do you know how to inspire people? What's it about you that...
It's not about me. It's about the message. And my goal is to ask the right questions.
Okay.
To stay curious. To essentially be like your kids. And be like, why? 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 And annoy the crap out of you, but not annoy you.
Yeah.
To try to get the most out of you.
Because the answer is here, but sometimes it's buried so deep. And you keep asking, it's going to surface.
And until you actually hug long enough, you're going to open up about...
I like
what's
that.
Inside?
I'm gonna fucking hug you on the way out of here.
Yeah, you know what? Hug you so hard you can't get up.
7 seconds.
I mean, for me, I used to be an athlete. My whole dream was to be a professional athlete.
Football?
I played football professionally. Got injured really quickly. I broke my wrist. You can see a scar here. So I was in a cast from here. I don't know if any of your kids have broken arms. I hope they
not yet.
Don't. I was in a cast from actually my thumb was in a cast to my fingers in this position. So I was like this for 6 months.
Did this not go numb?
It was miserable. I was constantly doing this.
Oh.
And I could do this, okay. And I could move it here, but I couldn't straighten
my
arm.
Six months.
Do they have a better system now?
I hope so, because they took a bone out of my hip, put it in my wrist, and it just took forever to fuse together. So I was in this position because they couldn't have me twisting it, otherwise they wouldn't have healed. And so my whole life kind of like crashed because I didn't have a plan B. I had no clue what I was going to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, I want to be an athlete. That's all I know. That's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go to school to learn. I just went to school to play sports.
You know why women resonate with you? Because so many are taught to just grow up and become moms.
Mm.
And that's the goal. And then they become a mom and they're like,
what's next?
This is the number one question that moms say to us. What do I do now? And how do I know what to
just
do?
Just be a mom and that's 20 years.
And then what, though?
Yeah.
But even everything's like, what now? So I need to finish your story, but that you just like dinged it on me that what you're saying is what is every mom who sits at home.
Where were you born? Where are you from?
Small town, Delaware, Ohio.
Okay.
We like our small town boys. You're the second small town boy.
Where are you guys from? Texas?
Big city girls.
Toronto, Canada.
You're Canadian?
Canadian?
But
Canadian? Is that amazing?
For some reason, Texas for some reason.
Well, blonde hair, big boobs. I don't know.
Wait. I have big boobs.
I pretend.
I know. You have
You're both Toronto? Awesome.
Yeah.
You sound like Americans.
Yeah, I know.
I'm half American, but we're born and raised.
Husband.
Toronto.
Wow.
Toronto, yes.
Yeah.
Don't meet many Canadians like you ladies.
That's a compliment.
We're
doing a spin that into a compliment.
Yeah. We heard that we're loud Canadians. Like Canadians are usually, I guess. That's what like,
committed
to the craft of finding more about curious people.
So every day you create content and deliver it on different social media platforms.
I interview people.
I know you do.
My goal is to interview the most fascinating people in the world to figure out how they became great at what they do, whatever it is that they do.
Right.
At the greatest level.
Is there anyone?
I became fascinated. After I got done playing professional football, I was sleeping on my sister's couch for a year and a half. Didn't make any money. This was in 2007 to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out, what am I to do? I'm a 24-year-old grown man with no job, no college degree. My dream's over. I don't know what to do with my life. And I said to myself, how can I make my life like a sport? This is all I know is sports.
Right.
How can I make life a sport? Well, what's the first thing I need? I need a coach. I need someone to give me guidance to figure out how to set a goal for my next stage. And then I need to create some goals.
Who's the coach?
I had three key mentors from Ohio that were kind of guided me in different areas of what I was interested in. One was a great public speaker.
Did you have to pay them?
I didn't have any money, so I somehow swindled them and convinced them to work with me and just like have pity on me.
It was like one of those moments, right?
It's like, please, I have a cast, help me. You know.
Okay.
Like,
how did you know you wanted to be a public speaker? You were just not shy and good at speaking out loud.
My entire life, I think one of the things that's helped me along the way is I've been so terrified to do so many things throughout my life. I was the youngest of four. My brother went to prison when I was 8 years old for 4.5 years. I was sexually abused and raped by a man when I was 5. And I had no friends until I was 13. Friends that I had to pay for. Literally, I had to pay one time to be a part of a friend group, a club. Mm-hmm. And I was in the special needs classes, so I was able-bodied, but I was in the little classes on the side.
So were we, by the
with
way.
Everyone. Why were you in the special wheelchairs, needs? Wheelchairs. Because I couldn't read and write.
Okay.
I couldn't comprehend. When I went to 8th grade, they started testing us, and they said I had a 2nd grade reading level.
They waited till 8th grade to do...
No, they just started doing more, like, standardized tests, and they're like, I went to a new school in 8th grade, and this school tested me, and they were like, okay, you have a 2nd grade reading level, which I pretty much knew, because every time the teacher would ask me to read aloud, I would just stumble over my words, because I could not read a full sentence.
And you couldn't articulate what you were feeling.
And I couldn't remember what I was reading, because I couldn't read it. And so when we do tests, I would always fail. And then I would just feel, it just confirmed how stupid and insecure and dumb and insignificant I was
every time
I went to school. I mean, I was the youngest of four. They were struggling to make money. They were doing their best to help me. My mom would help me, but she's working a few jobs. My dad's working until 7 o'clock every night just trying to pay for, you know, my brother's in prison. It's like, there's just challenges.
And so, then there was those two big sisters?
They were very loved. My parents were great. My mom tutored me. She would come to elementary school and for an hour or two and help with reading in the class just so I didn't feel alone.
Aww.
So she would come and do her best, take time away from work to come teach me. But I didn't know what dyslexia was then.
Right.
And it wasn't until later I was like, oh, I guess I'm dyslexic.
Yeah.
And so to get back to that, I guess the story is, you know, I just felt very insecure in my childhood. I felt like no one cared, no one loved me. Even though my parents loved me and my family loved me.
It's different.
I didn't feel. The story I told myself is no one loves me because I'm stupid and no one's ever going to love me. And for whatever reason, I just feel like I had nothing to lose after a certain amount of years. I just said, whatever I'm most afraid of, I'm going to go do it. And when I was a teenager, no girls would talk to me. Yeah. I was 6'4", this tall, at like 11 years old. And
shut.
Why were they not talking to you?
Because I was like super skinny and gangly and like huge ears and big teeth. Like,
did your ears shrink?
No, I just
he grew into
grew
them.
It, right?
Oh, I had mine pinned back. Mine were huge too.
That's great. And I was in the bottom of my class all the way through high school. And when I got to high school, they would have actually rankings of classmates based on grade
where?
Card.
Like, based on the
what?
Wall?
Based on what?
No, in your grade card. On your grade card, they would rank you on the top of your card. So I was always in the bottom four.
That's
all through
so
high school.
Bad. That's based so on, terrible.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know.
Who thought?
I mean,
we don't do that in Canada, just
smart.
So you know.
So there was always, every day was a confirmation that I'm not good enough.
Oh.
And, you know, I was ugly. I was this. It was just everything.
Really?
Right? Yeah, for me. That's the story I told myself. That's the story I told myself.
Okay.
And so I remember the first challenge for me was every guy's challenge.
What?
It's how to get a girl to like them, right? It's like how to survive. You need a girlfriend in high school.
Right?
And I remember I was...
What grade are you in now?
Then?
Yeah, then.
I mean, I was 14.
Like ninth grade?
Yeah, ninth.
How do you get a girlfriend?
Well, it was just like, how do you get a girl to talk to you? That's like the insecurity of guys in high school.
Okay.
You have boys?
I have 3 boys, yeah.
Are they high school?
One. No!
They're all under the age of 11. 4 to 11.
I'm telling
I got
you,
4 of them,
the
though.
Thing that the guys are going to think about the most is like, do girls like me?
Okay.
Like, what am I doing that's going to get a girl to like want to talk to me or sit by me or, you know, whatever.
Were you playing football this time?
I didn't start playing until I was a sophomore.
Okay.
But, I was just, like, scared to talk to girls. And I remember I said to myself, like, I'm sick and tired of being afraid. I'm done being afraid of talking to girls, being rejected, being laughed at, like, everything. And I'm going to master this thing. And I said to myself, from 16, I was 16 going into 17, I was in the summer break, I said, okay, Every time I see, I just created a game in my mind and a challenge. I said, this whole summer, every time I see a girl that gives me a little bit of butterflies,
yeah, you know,
it's like, ooh, that's like, she's cute. I am going to not walk, sprint up to them. In a non-creepy way.
Yeah. Excuse me, okay.
But I'm going to, like, not run away like I always do. I'm going to actually turn and start going towards them and say hi.
Nervous for you right now.
And it was the most scary thing the first few times because I'd always been rejected and always been laughed at or whatever. It was just, like, the story I told myself. And so I gave myself this challenge, and the first couple weeks, I was horrible. I would just stutter. I didn't know what to say. I would just make a fool of myself. These girls would just laugh, and I was just like, I'm going to do this until I'm no longer afraid.
What happened the first time you did it? What was she like?
I think she was... It was just so awkward.
Oh, yeah. Just really so weird way of so meeting weird. Girls. It's good. Good
but here's talking. What happened. Here's what happened. But I remember I went to this... My dad was a...
How many girls do you think it was? Like, you eventually... Like,
I probably talked to hundreds of people. Wow. But it wasn't with, like, the intention of, like, I'm going to get a girlfriend. I'm going to get them to, like, kiss me. I was just like, I need to overcome this
fear. Yeah, fair. That's very mature, by the way.
If they never see me again, like, I'm okay.
Were you handsome?
I think I was I had a lot of acne then, too. Okay. So I was, like, insecure.
I know.
I had, like, a bowl cut. I was, like, I think I was getting more handsome. Like, I was growing into my body, you know, all those things.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. There's a lot of handsome men who are still afraid to talk to girls.
Uh-huh. So, and lots of girls who are afraid. Like, everyone's
absolutely. Yeah, everyone's afraid to be rejected.
Yeah, everyone's afraid
to be rejected. I never have talked to a boy, like, walk up to a boy at that age.
No, if they talked to me, I'd have been like,
So
my God,
by the end of the summer, I got so comfortable with rejection. And I was just like, it doesn't matter. And I'm just here to have a good time. And I just want to say hi to someone. I don't have a gender.
So you, at 16, you got really comfortable with rejection. That's like...
Comfortable
with
rejection.
That's really far advanced in human evolution. Because we know people that are in their 30s and afraid to be... 70s who are afraid to be rejected.
And I think that's what gave me an advantage in, like, I was the only one in on my sports teams in college that actually pursued the dream of playing professional football. But I was not the best athlete. There was guys much better than me. But a lot of them stopped talking to me when I went to go play professional football. I was so hurt by the guys who I thought were like my brothers that I practiced with every day.
Yeah, they are. They technically are, right?
You're literally like taking showers naked with dudes.
Yeah, why did they not talk to you?
Right?
I think later found out
like they stayed in their comfort zone. They stayed in, like, the small town they were in. They got a job. They didn't go for the dream that they really wanted to. Mm. And they saw me doing it, and I think they were just mad or...
They're mad themselves. They weren't mad at him.
It just was really hurtful because I was like, man, it's lonely going after your dreams when there's other people that should be, but they're not, and they don't talk to you, and they... So I really learned quickly, like, okay, some things you're going to have to go do on your own if you really want it bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned a lot of lessons. So there's a lot of challenges I gave myself since I was 16. I was afraid of public speaking my whole life because I couldn't.
So were we?
Because I couldn't stand up. Because I couldn't stand up in front of class and read aloud because all the people would laugh.
You know, I dropped out of high school, right?
I do now.
Yeah. Didn't finish, and
I had a bad public speaking thing that like
incident.
Yeah, I like
in, now you guys are speaking in front of like millions of women.
Oh yeah, I mean you can't imagine the first time we had to do it.
We argued. You do it. We couldn't even talk.
We shaking.
Yeah, shaking. We would be like,
but it's an alarm.
Amber alert.
But yeah. One time I was like cool with my small class, and I won this like public speaking like thing in my class. It was with my friends. It's like one class.
Like between you and one other person. You won.
But then from winning, and this is why I always tell my kids, like, you know, like, be careful, because if you win in the class, you'll have to go in front of the whole school.
Be careful. That's really good parenting advice. Don't try too hard. You don't want to win.
Just
be careful.
Get third.
Third's good. I went, and I did it in front of the whole class, the whole, like, school, and I got up there, I said 5 words, I forgot the whole thing. Everyone's staring at me. I couldn't say another word, and I just walked off, and I'm like, I know there's a video, I've never seen it, but from that moment on, I was like, I cannot talk in front of people. Like, that will happen again for sure.
Wow.
Obviously, I worked through that.
Talk all too much. No,
can't stop now.
Yeah, and so when I got done playing football, I was like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I immediately wrote a list of my biggest fears. And public speaking was one of them.
Why is this not a book?
I've written some stuff in some of my books about this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just that's a fear.
Well, I'm writing a new book about how to eliminate self-doubt, because I feel like self-doubt is the killer of dreams, and almost everyone has doubt.
We just did a podcast.
But can you eliminate it without, like, going through it? Like, you know, no. you got so used to rejection.
Do you want that moved? Is that your life?
No, it's
too
okay.
big? Okay.
No.
I thought you were going to say, Nat, do you want some for seconds?
Yeah, baby. Okay, I'll get it. Nat,
I just think, well, they can care about, but I just think it's so ironic, your story of, like, walking up to girls and talking to them when... I was telling my husband before we left, like, who I was going to meet, and what an idiot. He didn't know you. But I'm, like, showing it. He goes, wait. He was like, okay. Wait, who's that? I go, that's his girlfriend. And Mark's like, honestly, he's like, never mind. What's her name? He's like, holy shit. This guy has a good time. From not being able to say hi to a girl, one of your girlfriends, to the hottest girl on the fucking internet, as far as I can see.
She's pretty special.
Wow. Mark's really jealous. He must
there's
have
a,
fun.
There's
I go,
a lot of...
I go, you can't get her as your girlfriend. You can get a girl from Mark, but not her.
There's a lot, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of hot, beautiful, sexy women in the world. And I've met so many great women.
Yeah.
But when you want to be build a life partnership with someone.
Yeah.
This is, sounds cliche. I'm
no, no. Sorry for
that. I'm really sorry. That
wow.
just was...
You almost made her lose her eyeballs.
Wow. That just went. That
it's all
went.
Good.
That just went. That I had no control.
Okay.
That, no. That.
He's never been drunk in his life.
But we're not giving you any. Don't
no,
worry.
No, I'm...
This
I'm
good.
I
he's
going to
open
four.
That one.
You know why that... Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, I've never been... this is going to sound cliche, and I always...
We don't care about that.
I think I always was like, oh, I want to be with, like, a hot, sexy girl. What,
I
blah,
think
blah,
every
blah.
People think that.
Everyone wants that, but I've been single at different stages of my life, and I've had fun and dated hot, sexy women that...
Really?
That bring...
Attaboy.
That also, like... I'm like, this is some emptiness to it, too.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying all hot women, but there was... Mm. I was choosing women where they weren't growth-minded, they didn't have the same... interest, and it feels like, okay, just being sexy and hot is not everything. It's fun for a little bit, but it's not a life partner that you want to be with.
Can I so you
remember telling myself,
sexy.
I need to find someone who's going to blow my mind sexually and beauty-wise, but also have the most incredible heart
she
in the world.
Blows your mind
can I ask you a personal question?
I mean, just someone who I'm attracted to.
I know. I'm just saying.
But
yeah.
I need to have the most incredible heart, growth-minded, and that's why
you really got a package. Are you a naturally optimistic person, or
yeah,
do you have to work on it?
I'm naturally positive, optimistic.
If you had to sum yourself up in one word, what would it be?
Oh, good.
Like, if you had to be like, I am. Like, we have one team member who has one tattoo on her.
Right, right.
I'm
so well suited.
Well, yeah. What is the word that it would be? I want you to say one too.
I know. I'm really nervous.
One word?
Yeah.
I'm loving.
Loving. Okay. What's yours?
Like sci-fi.
That's two.
Sci-fi.
It's Australian.
What?
Sci-fi. Like sci-fi.
So, Kat, what would yours be?
Kat, what's yours?
So, Kat, yours would be. I would say unstoppable.
Oh.
Like not tenacious, but like you're not putting a wall. If there's a wall, I'll plow through the wall, and there's nothing you can do to.
And also Sci-Fun.
And Seraphon.
Sci-Fun.
That's why there's two of us. Okay, I do have more questions for you. I was going to ask if you know anything
before
about it.
Before you ask the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to recap this, what I was saying.
Yes.
Not about the girl.
No.
But about speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I like keep us on track. We're bad at that.
When I, it's okay. when I was done playing football, I wrote a list of my fears. And the top of the list was public speaking, because I was never able to stand in front of my classmates, five people, without trembling. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I was also afraid of dancing.
Did you go on Dancing with the Stars?
I would love to.
Wait. You were afraid of like so you're at a club and then the music starts and you're like afraid like that you weren't going to be good at it, or like afraid of slow dancing?
Slow dancing, I was pretty good.
Yeah, that's
like
good.
It's pretty simple. It's just about. I had like a little bit of rhythm, like I could.
Oh,
whatever,
do you have rhythm now?
Well, so
DJ popped that part.
Like I need to. Do you have a move?
So,
afraid of dancing.
So I mean,
especially because you don't drink.
I've never been drunk.
Well, see,
but
you
had a
drink to be fine with dancing.
So I started seeking out these mentors and seeking out people that I felt like I was inspired by, that I wanted to be like.
Yes.
Things I was. They were always like. They were inspiring, you know, they made me proud of what they were creating, all these things. And I met someone at a salsa club. I went to a salsa club because I was scared to dance.
You're a unique being.
I was thinking of like club music, and he's like salsa.
So I went to a salsa club because I was terrified of it, and so I said, I'm going to check this out. And I had a cast on, so I'm at a club. I'm a tall white guy where it's all Latinos at a salsa club.
Yeah.
So I already stand out as being a tall white dude with a cast, like waving at people like an
idiot. It's like a good time to try salsa.
And I have a cutoff shirt on because I couldn't put an actual long sleeve shirt on the cast, right? So
yeah.
I just cut off. It just didn't.
Did you have muscles?
I mean, I'm in a cast.
Okay,
yes,
never mind.
So dancing was one, especially salsa dancing was one. Like partner dancing.
But when do you salsa dance in life?
Like maybe at weddings when they put on that one song.
When is it like I need to? Now I'm gonna bust out
my salsa. Yeah, like I never feel the need to like master my salsa skills. Salsa.
Salsa.
When did you?
But I remember watching it on TV, being like, I could never do that.
No. Can you do it now?
I'm gonna guess the answer is go to.
So I go to a salsa club.
Alone.
And alone.
You need this girl.
Alone. I go by myself, and I start going every week to this club and just sit in the corner and watch.
They think you're weird now.
Of course.
They think you're a pervert. They're like, who is this pervert in a cast?
What city are you in now?
Columbus, Ohio. So
there's a salsa
club
there.
There's a small salsa scene.
That's mind-blowing in itself.
There's a good Latino group there. So anyways, I start going. I have all this free time on my hand. Right?
No pun intended.
I have all this free time because I'm not working. I'm not playing football. I can't work out. I'm just sleeping on my sister's couch at this time.
Yes.
And I started asking myself, what can I, after a number of months of being kind of depressed and like down on myself, I say, okay, I gotta overcome my fears. I gotta do something with my life. I knew about the salsa club because my girlfriend was dating a Colombian who told me about it, so I went to the club. That's how I found out about it.
Current girlfriend?
No, my sister's boyfriend, sorry, was Colombian. Okay. So I found out about it through him. So I go to the club. And I start meeting some of the people, the salseros, the people who are dancing.
Salseros?
Oh, they have salseros, yes. Salseros. Start meeting some of them. The women are like, nice. They're like, why don't you come out and dance? I'm like, no, I don't want to make you look bad. I'm really just terrified of embarrassing myself. After 3 months of going almost every week, I finally start to get some good friendships with some of the people there. And one girl just eventually just drags me out. And I'm like kicking and screaming.
You still have
the
cast on at this time?
I still have the cast on. And she, I'm like kicking and screaming. I'm kicking and screaming, but she's like ripping my hand out.
Good for her.
And I'm like, no. And it's in the middle of this like heavy song, this hot, heavy song. Everyone's on the floor. I'm in the middle floor. I'm literally like so embarrassed, shaking.
I would be dead.
The only white dude in the whole floor. I can't even understand the music.
You've been there 3 months. You know a little bit.
Nothing.
Come on, a little bit.
And so she's like, just look at me, and we're going to do the basic steps. So I'm looking down at her feet. I'm literally doing the basic steps. I'm stepping on her. I'm bumping into people. I feel so stupid.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah,
one song complete. I don't look up at all because I'm just like, I'm so stupid. And I do. We finish the song, and she says, stay out here. Just, like, keep doing the basics with me. And I'm like, I'm not making you look good. I'm making you look horrible. And all these other guys are twirling these girls around, making them look so amazing. I'm making you look horrible. She goes, it doesn't matter.
She didn't give two shits.
She didn't care. She's like, just do the basics. Keep doing the basics. And I was there for about an hour.
Did you look down at her feet, or are you supposed to look in her eyes?
You're supposed to stay connected, but I was so like embarrassed.
The whole time you're dancing.
Not the whole time. You don't want to stare the whole time for 20 minutes, but it's like you want to connect. It's a partner experience.
I'm new to this. I'll see you
later.
It's like when you talk with your girlfriend, do you look away the whole time you're talking to them? Do you feel like you're being present?
I do find eye contact very intimate. It's weird. You have great eye contact, but it's very...
So eye contact was something I was afraid of.
I'm not afraid of it. It's just...
But it's hard to stay present and connected, right?
If I look at you
for like 20
weird.
Seconds...
It's very...
Oh my God, I have a staring contest right now.
No,
so
yes,
we did.
We just did.
No, do it again.
No, it's not like
no,
that.
No, come on,
let's
do it.
And see what?
See who doesn't smile.
No...
I mean, I'll win this all day.
I play this with my kids all the time. You'll win this all day?
We know
you
can't
make
without blinking, without smiling.
You already smiled. Natalie. What? Okay. You're smiling, Natalie.
Fine.
I after about an hour of me messing up, I finally was like, okay, I'm in. I looked around the room. No one was looking at me.
No.
No one cared.
You know.
At all.
They say dancing is very much like sex.
Oh, wow.
It is.
But you know what you just said right there? You take off your cover up and you walk around the pool, everyone's gonna be like,
oh my God,
look at her body. And then you realize everyone's staring at themselves. Everyone's worried about themselves.
Everyone's in their own
body. Nobody cares about your dancing.
Exactly.
Wow.
So before you get to your next question, so recap it, I'll try to make it tight.
Yeah, okay, good.
I say, okay, I'm all in on salsa dancing. I started to become so obsessed with mastering salsa dancing. I downloaded a greatest hits of salsa songs. I was a truck driver at the time. So I was driving.
What kind of truck?
I was driving like the biggest size U-Haul before you need a truck license.
Okay. Imagine you pulled up next to him. He's driving the truck. Okay. Hey.
So I was driving every day for 6 hours from Columbus, Ohio to Cincinnati, dropping off Napa Auto car parts and then bringing new car parts back every day. And I would listen to this salsa CD for 6 hours straight. And all I would do is imagine myself dancing.
Oh my God. How old are you right now?
23, 24, something like that. So the truck only went 55 miles an hour when I put the pedal to the metal.
Oh my God.
So I was in the slow lane, just bored out of my mind in Ohio. It probably looks like Canada, you know, where you guys are at. It's like flat. It's just like cornfields everywhere.
Yeah.
We don't have corn, but that's okay.
And for 6 hours a day, I would listen to the sauce. 6 hours a day. And then at night, this you'll get a kick out of this.
Okay.
I had a mirror, like a tall mirror, and I would practice by myself. I would watch YouTube tutorials. I learned salsa through YouTube.
Are you a perfectionist?
I'm someone who likes to master something. I don't like to be perfect. I like to be a master.
Yeah, because that's a lot. That's a.
So are you huge so good? Are you commitment? So good at salsa now?
I would say that I can dance with the greatest salsa dancers in the world and make them look incredible. So I've
seriously? I didn't think you were just going to say that.
I mean, I've danced with a lot of the girls from Dancing with the Stars, and they're always like Julianne Hough.
Where?
I interviewed
just where?
Julianne.
Like,
I brought Julianne on my podcast 4 years ago, Julianne Hough.
And she was impressed.
And I was like, hey, let's dance real quick. And I just turned the music on, and I was dancing. She was like, what? She was like, yeah, there's videos of me doing this.
Is your girlfriend good at it?
She's not a salsa dancer. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, but I want to get her into it.
If you can master it, she can master it.
She could, yeah.
How long you guys been together?
It'd be almost a year.
Feels longer.
Nah, we have to go salsa dancing.
So anyways, I met a guy at the salsa club. You get the kick out of this.
Okay. I like the kick. I'm going to start that. I get a kick out of this.
I met a guy at the salsa club who I started to see a lot. And I started asking, one of the questions I asked him was, what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm not going to tell you. I'm teasing. It's supposed to be a joke.
But
I asked him, like, what do you do? Like, yeah. I was curious. And that's something you don't ask, but I asked him anyways. And he said...
Why don't you ask it?
It's not interesting.
Oh, I find
it's not an interesting question to start when you meet someone.
When you're... Okay.
I'm not offended. I'm not pissed or anything. I'm just saying...
It's like a girl being like, I'm a carny runner. Like, what do you do for a living?
I just think it's a lazy question to ask.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
I wanted to say that. I don't think it sparks enough curiosity in the person to be excited to answer.
What would be your first question when you're meeting someone?
What are you most grateful for in your life right now?
Really?
See what happened right there? You like that. So if I really ask you, what are you most grateful for?
I know exactly what she said.
What are you most grateful for in your life?
I have moments.
Right now.
At this moment.
At the stage of your life.
Oh, I'm like, today.
In the last, like, week.
I'm grateful I'm grateful for my life with her. Like, right now, what we're doing and what we're living.
In the moment.
Oh, shut up. I'm grateful for, literally, I am grateful for, like, basically waking up. Like, we are basic.
I'm gonna
like,
help you.
Our gratefulness is waking up every day, and then everything on top of that is we have a lot of fun with nothing, because you don't know our story, but it's kind of crazy. People have, one of my questions for you, what is your biggest misconception? What is the biggest misconception people have about you? Which is super interesting, because when people meet you, they automatically think something of
what
you.
What do they think?
Just like you thought we were from Texas. That's a misconception.
Sure.
Huge misconception. And you probably thought we were in a sorority.
I wasn't going to say that.
But thought it. Like,
I didn't think it until you said that.
Yeah, all those things, right? They put us in categories.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't think that, but.
What would be your biggest misconception? The misconception?
Of me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that I'm just like a big dumb jock.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Even today?
Yeah, or he's just like, you know, especially in this age, it's like, oh, he's just like a privileged white guy. You know, that always had it easy, like.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people when they see you in a situation where you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
You're very lucky.
So for me, my whole, and I knew that as a kid, like for whatever reason, I knew that like people would put me in a box, and that's why I said, no, I'm going to join the choir. I'm going to join the school musical. I was a synchronized swimmer.
This is not.
I wanted to be everything that. The first thing you guys asked me is like, what do you want to drink? I said, I've never been drunk. I bet you would never think that I've never been drunk.
Actually, actually, you know what I said to Sam? I said, I feel like that guy doesn't drink.
But would you ever say to yourself, he's never been drunk?
We never would think that way.
Okay, most people...
No, like, really, we would never...
Most people are like, what? You've never been... It's like... How is that possible?
We've come across a lot of people.
You're a football player. Like, you went to parties. Like, how did you never get drunk? And I didn't have a sip of alcohol in college. I had one sip.
I think we have the gift of not thinking for other people.
That's great.
A synchronized swimmer, are there a lot of male synchronized swimmers?
No.
Were you on a female team?
It was all females, but there was an opportunity for men to do, like...
The
lifting up women.
How old were you?
I was 18.
And you had to wear the tight suit.
No, I wear, like, board shorts.
Okay, but. I was like, that would be... Because if someone who's insecure to get in a tight suit and get in the water with a bunch of women would be...
Yeah. I remember I was just like, I'm going to do all the things I'm afraid of that people would never expect me to do. Salsa dancing. I started learning guitar when I was 18 as well. I started public speaking. Like, I was like...
Tired for you.
No, I almost flunked out of English my senior year, and my English teacher was so amazing. She would work with me every day after class to help me because I couldn't memorize vocabulary. I didn't know how to read and write still. And she was so giving and so caring that no one would ever think that, one, I would write a book and become a New York Times bestseller. No chance.
Same here.
No
same
chance. Bitch. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, and I think I was the first person in my school to write a book. And there were and there were great writers.
Yeah, but it's potato, potato.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's great everything, yeah. And they don't do it.
Yeah.
It's really what you come down to do it, you know?
So the goal for me is always to, like...
What's your
You know, I wrote a book about vulnerability, about, you know, I opened up... about being raped. I don't think most guys talk the way I talk.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And how do you feel when people talk about that to you?
About what?
Like, if they, are they, do people get uncomfortable when you share that story?
Do people get uncomfortable?
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about your share.
I know.
They might get uncomfortable, and my goal is to just make them as comfortable as possible.
Break it down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious, because that would be, often when people go through something, people don't know how to handle those feelings of other people and what to say and what to do.
They don't know how to.
They're just kind of like, okay, and anyways, what are you, right?
Next.
And you're like,
oh. Yeah, so what's next?
Yeah, it's an interesting...
Yeah.
And you, I
feel like moms, because it's mostly moms listening, right?
Yeah, moms, grandmas.
I feel like moms that have kids, especially sons, I feel like, you know, 1 in 6 boys get sexually abused, 1 in 4 women. You know, one of you, the statistics are, has been sexually abused in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not rape, but it's some type of sexual offense, mm-hmm. abuse. Whether it's when you're a kid, 16, 20, it doesn't matter. And it's 1 in 6 for men. And unfortunately, I was 1 of those 6. But I look at it as a blessing now, and I'm really grateful for the lessons I've learned. And... the message I'm able to share with other men to try to help them heal as well. I feel like I have more tools now because I went through 30 years of pain and suffering without telling a soul.
That's what I was going to ask. Were you able to tell your parents?
No. There was nothing, especially for me growing up in the 80s and 90s, there was not like a TV commercial that said, hey, if you're a little boy who's been sexually abused or raped, like, here's what to do.
Was there anything that
here's
your, parents,
who to call.
Your parents could have seen
There's
or done?
Nothing
There's nothing
done.
They could have done.
Nothing. It was at the babysitter's. It was like the teenage son of the babysitter mm-hmm. that I would go to after kindergarten every day mm-hmm. across the street. My mom's working hard. My dad's working hard. They're doing the best they can. It's not like they could have prevented it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
They
didn't know, and I didn't tell them.
How did you work through that 30-year pain?
Anger. Anger, beating people up on the football field, like putting myself through physical pain, torturing myself, reacting, you know, in unhealthy ways.
Okay. But you're through that.
I'm through that. I went through a lot of healing over the last 6 years. I started the process of talking about it.
Like therapy?
I went through lots of different therapies, emotional intelligence trainings, you know, one-on-one therapies, different stuff. I opened up about it in a workshop for the first time, which allowed me to say, okay, I'm going to start reaching out to other experts and therapists to, like, really talk about it more, really, like, figure out a safe process for letting it go and healing. And I think the first step for a lot of us is we don't heal the past, whatever it is, whether it's your dad made fun of you for whatever, your nose, or your mom didn't hug you at night, or whatever it is, like, we don't heal from past traumas. And it manifests in today with our current relationships, how we treat our friends, our kids, our, you know, spouses. It manifests until we heal the past.
But often people don't know what that was.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I got lucky that because when I started, I opened up about it about a year later. I started telling my family one by one after I did like the workshop therapy stuff with therapists. I started then saying, okay, I need to tell my family this. Like, I just need to tell them.
How did family receive it? Expected or unexpected?
Amazing. Well, here's the thing. I was terrified to tell anyone still, except for therapists. And I asked one therapist, I said, I don't know what to do. How do I even tell my mom, who's the one who dropped me off at the, you know?
Because you're so afraid that she's going
to be, I don't want to hurt her. Yeah, I don't want like her to be like, it's sad forever. It's like, I don't want to put someone through pain.
Yeah.
So I said, what do I do? And this therapist was great. She said, you need to ask them all a conversation before, or ask them all a question before you tell them, and make sure you feel ready based on their response.
Oh, that's a good one.
So the question she told me to ask was, is there anything I could ever say or do that would make you not love me?
Oh,
fucking hell. Every mom out there is like about to, and is there something that your parents could have let you know that, that was safe to do, or no? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, moms are sitting there thinking.
Maybe they could have said, like, every couple of years, hey, has anything ever happened to you that you want to tell me? But I was so, like, guarded.
You might have said no.
I probably would have said no.
But you knew the door was maybe open. Like, I'm just thinking.
Maybe. I mean, I think she might have even tried to say something like that at one point. But I think I was just so protective of my feelings and my guarded and, like, you know, it was teenage
because
boys.
Because a lot of moms are sitting here being like, what can I do to help my children if they are going through something or if
Here's the thing that I think you could do. I mean, you may never be able to get something out of them if they've been sexually abused or had some trauma. It might just be a trauma with, like, a friend who said something.
Yeah, or a boyfriend that was a boyfriend. It could be, right?
That said something that hurt them.
Yeah.
That affected them in a bad way.
Totally.
Right? It doesn't have to be a physical or sexual abuse. I think it's going to go back to what you don't like to do. The power of eye contact is unbelievable. It opens the soul.
I love to do it. I don't mind doing it. And I just find it. It's intimate.
It's very intimate. But when you get intimate with someone, you start to feel their soul. And you start to see what they're saying and what they're not saying.
Yeah, moms know.
But do you know also, like, just, like, on that point of, like, eye contact is more like I'm fine to make amazing eye contact with a woman. I feel, like, really safe in that. Yeah. But when a man stares me right in the eye, you know, I've always been, like, shy around boys and stuff and, like, men. But, like, for no reason, just that... that's just the way it is. But, like, when a man is staring me in the eye for a long time, I kind of just feel...
Because often it's not a friendly... It's a stare of, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you.
I have an agenda or whatever.
It's not often...
I completely get it. I'm not saying you need to look everyone in the eyes for, like, 20...
It's connected.
If you've got a young boy or young girl in your house, the thing where I felt the most safe was when my parents were just so stressed all the time. They had so much work. They were trying to pay the bills. I'm not blaming them.
No.
It's just, it's like sitting down and actually just like no phone and just like allowing yourself to be present and listen.
There was no time.
There was very little time. I mean, my mom's got four kids. You guys got lots of kids. It's like chaos.
Do you remember?
You're trying to take care of your health and it's like.
They were so busy. Do you remember them like having fun?
No, like, my parents should have been married. Like, they should have got divorced before I was born.
Okay.
So it was, like, a unhealthy
experience. But when they were alone, did you ever see, like, your mom, like, having a good time?
We would go on a ski trip once a year, and that's when I saw us, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't much. I don't have any, like, positive memories.
We know this is a bad question, but if you were to have kids, not do you want to have kids, if you were to have kids.
Because I already said, oh, my God, he was such a cute dad. Do you think, like, he's ever not going to have kids? She's like,
I'm like, but often for women, if you ask them, they're like, I can't. I don't. Like, it's a question that sometimes not everyone
can't.
Right, maybe the guy, you don't. It's a question we've learned that sometimes.
But you're young enough that, like, it's not like he's like.
Do you want kids? Ah!
I think I do because. And I never thought I did until.
Really?
Until I met. My current girlfriend.
That is often
the case. Wait, why did you not think so? Because it seems...
I didn't trust the women I was with.
Oh, okay.
I didn't fully trust them in my gut. And I didn't think... This may sound weird, but I never thought, you know... But then I would stay with them. So it's like I had a messed up, you know...
No, you are a human being. You can't be who you are with what you didn't go through.
I had to learn a lot.
So you're saying I was, I am, I think... No, you're not. You just were.
I was, yes. So I... I never trusted the women I was with. And I remember thinking to myself, like, if I die and I have a kid with them, I don't think they'll be able to take care of my kids.
Oh, my God.
Like, in a way.
Who are you dating?
Like, in a way that these women aren't bad women.
No, I know.
I just didn't feel like they were resourceful enough.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a deep question for a man to think, by the way.
Yeah, it's like if I died and they had
a typical man right here.
Let's say if I died and I didn't have the life insurance policy that I have and the money, you know, if I didn't have that to give them. Is my partner going to be so resourceful enough to make it happen?
Shit, we are. We're getting married.
Right. Are they resourceful enough? Are they resourceful enough?
If you're looking for some responsible women,
yeah, exactly.
We'll be already there.
But it's like, do I believe they have the values? Do I believe they have the growth mindset where they're not going to hold like my child into a limited way of thinking? Or are they going to allow them to blossom emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and are they going to make enough money to support them?
Yeah.
Where they're not just...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
As moms, we are often juggling a million and one things. With our kids going in a million different directions and taking care of everyone else can mean that we often forget about ourselves. It's time to reclaim a little me time with some well-deserved self-care. And for us, that doesn't have to mean a lot. It can be picking a favorite product and taking a little extra time to do our daily routine. Dime Beauty offers clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. They are 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. You know we don't have the energy to remember the order of a 10-step routine, so we love that the Work system keeps things simple for us and has everything you need in one powerful package with a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their beauty reviews are literally all 5 stars. If you haven't checked out Dime, it's time. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
You're really lucky. You're unique.
Yes, I was
in a really good way because that is a very forward thinking again.
Right.
Where most people are like, I'll just stick it in her and I'm gonna make a baby. Gonna come so hard I get twins.
Wow. Do people say that?
Oh my God, guys are like, I've got her knocked up. My swimmers are so strong. I got two.
Oh my God.
You know, it's funny. I have had a lot of life insurance on me since I was 27. I bought a life insurance policy, and then I add more to the whole life, term life, for my future kids. If I was going to have future kids and a wife, I just remember thinking, like, I need to invest now in that possibility.
So family is super important for you, even though you had a really chaotic skewed family.
I think it's becoming more important the older I get. I'm 36 right now, and it used to be all about, like, me, what I wanted, and my dreams, and I still want to achieve a lot of big dreams.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also like, I don't know if I want to do it alone for the rest of my life also.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Right.
I know you're not. Yeah. And you know what? If you did end up alone, you'll find someone again.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, life is long. You're you're not... There's people who feel like...
Well, I'm not meaning not alone, like a partner, but like as a... I think I'm a family.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah, kids.
They're the best. Oh, I have to say, they're hard as fuck, but they...
Right? I mean, I got a fucking dog right now that it's like stressing me out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is like a fraction of what a kid is like.
No. Kids are like...
It's giving me anxiety.
It is like... People say it's like your heart outside. It's not... It's like you're so vulnerable because their pain is 10 times your pain. You can't control anything.
Can't do anything.
And I bet even though you went through all of these things and your mom was, like, your parents didn't get along, you would still never change your mom.
No.
You would never wish for someone different, right? At the end of the day, you weren't like, I wish, and so that's kind of our message.
No, I feel blessed for the
Do you still have your parents?
Yeah, my mom is actually here. She works with me full time. And
are they divorced now?
They were divorced when I was in high school. Yeah. And my dad he's alive, but he had a really bad car accident where he was in a coma for 3 months about 15 years ago. And he's never been the same. So unfortunately, he's alive. You can have kind of a conversation with him, but he has a lot of amnesia. So it's like hard. Asking the same question over and over. And I have to tell him, like, my whole life story all the time.
Who takes care of him?
His current wife.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
wife.
Yeah. Wow. Seriously, though. Yeah, no, do it. Do it. We recommend it. It's a great thing, but definitely the most vulnerable thing you'll ever do. And he is not... It's like the reason... No man gets questioned about their kids. You have kids, you move on. Where every woman is like, how do you do it? How are you here? What do your kids
think? They question you.
Like, how do you leave them?
How do you leave
how
them?
How are we here? How are we in LA?
A husband or babysitters or a family?
That's not the mindset a lot of people have. So the one that
you have. What are you doing? Abandoning your kids?
Who's going to take care of them? But when a husband goes on work trip, no one's like, the boys aren't sitting around and be like, so who's taking care of your kids?
Yeah,
it's always for us.
So when you said that, I was like, you gave me an aha moment where I think so many women feel insignificant when they become moms because you lose your identity and you become someone's mother, and mothers are given kind of in society outdated roles where if you work, you must not love them. If you do this, you must not feel as passionate about being like you can't have everything. Really? Yeah, for real, mom
says that.
It's a story. Like, you thought you were not X, Y, and Z. Yeah, many women feel like... Many women will go to work and get on an overnight flight to come home at the sake of themselves so they can wake up in the morning at 7 in the morning, lose all the sleep, which we've done, where other people think, I'm going to take till Monday for myself because it would be good. Never. How fast can I get home? Where can I be? And how can I do everything at once at the sake of myself? And most people, women, go to bed and say, I failed today because I wasn't enough. Because you can't be a super mom and a super person. No one is, but everyone else has flexibility to fuck up. Where moms, you're given. When we go away, or I'll give you an example. You have kids in tow, and someone's throwing it down.
Tow.
Like following you. Okay, so when you walk, you have like four or five kids.
Duck.
Yeah, literally. Yes, literally. So you're in the front and they're behind you. And one is screaming.
All right.
And everyone's like,
that's called throwing it down.
Throwing it down.
Throwing it
down. What do they do? People look at you.
Judging
and judge
you. You're a bad mom. Get your kid under control.
All right.
So a dad does it and they're all like, you're doing a great job. Bless your heart. You're
taking care of the kid.
You're amazing.
Yeah. You're stepping up.
I can't believe you're doing this on you. You're a super dad. Wow. You're amazing. Literally to this day. So that's where it's so fucked up that women are often shelved.
But part of the community that we've built is these women who
let's bring it back to us.
No! So you're like,
let's
build a community where we shame the men.
No! That's why we are bringing men in now, because we like to hear...
perspective. And also how you grew up, because, you know, I've got three boys. You have a boy. We're girls of brothers. We've had boys around us. And so we like to hear a perspective from a different kind of a guy or different people. And you definitely have a unique perspective on life.
We're also trying to bring it to like a human level where you can connect not on color, not on race, not on ethnicity, not on how you were brought up, how much money you have, how much money you don't have, just like who are you?
Yeah.
And we have some things in common, even though even if it's like I didn't feel like I was enough in high school. I didn't like to the point where I dropped out. I didn't feel like I could go to college, university. Yeah. Like I did, but that story is unique amongst every person in the world where they didn't feel like they were something they should be, you know?
Yeah, of course.
That's all we're trying to bring it to. Can I ask a question?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, just for our people.
Gimme, gimme.
Do you believe in regrets?
Do I have any new works here?
Do you believe in regrets? Yes or no?
Do I believe in regrets?
Yes. Do you have any? Do you believe in them? Or are you like every regret is a?
I think I've had peace with all the things in my past that I regretted or wish I didn't do or wasn't proud of. I think I'm at peace with it. Would I go back and change things?
Yeah.
I think they taught me lessons.
Yes.
I mean, maybe I would go back and be like, yeah, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But it taught me the lesson not to do it again.
Yeah.
And to be more compassionate and to have more understanding and patience. So, I mean, I wish I didn't do certain things.
Yeah, yeah. But regrets are some things that people carry with them for life.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at peace about it all.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's like, should I talk to my mom more, my dad? Well, it's like certain things
that's
I wish
guilt.
I did more.
That's
yeah.
guilt. That's more guilt.
It's not like a regret. I feel like I've,
just
with
so
the
know.
Tools I've had, with like the information I've had, I've done the best I could in relationships, different situations, you know, everything like that.
I'm dying to know that because you're only 36. Like, I know, what are you going to do next? We don't want to talk about that.
But I like, hate that question.
I know, but like, what do you
what's
dream?
A dream?
What's a dream for you? Because there's a lot of years left. Other than
hopefully.
Maybe having kids.
I hope there is. All yeah. we have is this moment.
All we have is this moment.
It's true, though.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen.
We
I
live
know.
It to the
I
moment.
Say to my, I say to my kids before I go, give me the last time I see you.
I mean.
Going on an airplane.
I truly just want, I want to end a lot of suffering. I feel like I felt a lot of suffering in my life. And I'm finally at a place where I have inner peace for the first time in the last 6 years.
Suffering for people who've gone through the same thing as you?
Everything. Like, whatever, and anything is everything inside. It's like, if you're going through sexual abuse or didn't have a parent or whatever it is, a traumatic breakup, like, if you're dealing with suffering, it's the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
You're suffering.
It's feelings.
It's a feeling of helplessness, not worthy enough, pain, insecurity.
Confusion.
And you feel, because of the process that you've went through and everything you've learned, that you could help people release some of those.
I feel like I can help. Like, I've gotten to a place of inner peace. And I'm not saying it's every day is going to be that way, but I feel like I know how to get there quickly.
Manage. You can manage when those feelings
stress.
Come up. You
yeah.
can be like,
and you
okay.
can help other people do that.
I feel like I can create, my goal is to help 100 million people every single week.
Okay.
Live a better life.
Okay.
And to feel more peace and accomplish their dreams. And so that's the dream, is to reach 100 million people weekly.
Okay.
So you have business goals. It's not just...
I mean, that's not a business goal. That's a mission.
A mission. Okay,
it's
but that's also...
to reach that many
also,
people, and
that's
in
also,
return, it'll bring in income.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
But my mission is not, I want to make $100 million. Mm-hmm. It's, I want
yeah.
to reach 100 million people.
We feel that you're actually on brand with our mission. Exactly.
And by doing so, opportunities are going to flow. Like, the money is going to take care of itself.
Do you feel happy? Like, when you wake up in the day, do you feel like a happy person? You
feel
happy?
When I wake up yeah. next to the woman of my dreams, I feel like I want to cry.
Do you feel internal
feel so
happiness,
grateful.
Or do you have to say you're great? Do you feel happy, like light?
I feel super happy. I'll tell you what. My girlfriend just... I'm not going to say everything's perfect. My girlfriend just moved in Christmas Day. And the night before, our dog broke its leg.
I saw on Instagram.
And had 9 screws and emergency surgery.
Yep.
And she
and
moved...
And you got an eye infection.
An eye infection. She moved from Mexico to USA. She left... a career where she was at the top.
Wait, moving in with you is her moving from Mexico?
She was living in Mexico City as the top TV host in the biggest show in Mexico.
Until right now?
She just moved in like a couple weeks ago.
Whoa, that's a lot of pressure for you.
So it's been, the dog, I had to take the dog into surgery. The fucking surgery cost $7,000 for a dog's
yeah, yeah.
face.
American dollars.
Like, what
I
the hell?
Know.
Part of me is like, we should have stayed in Mexico to get this thing fixed. It would have been like $700, but I wanted to make sure I had the best treatment. When you care about something, it's like a child. I'm not going to say it's
I have
child.
A dog. Yeah. It's a thing.
You're like, oh, you want, it's a part of your family, right?
Yeah.
So
she moved for you.
She moved for herself. She was going to move on her own to her own apartment, and which I was like, yes, because my last relationship was a nightmare living with in the relationship with someone. I never lived with anyone before that, and it was bad from day one, and it got worse.
How long did it last?
Probably 6 months, 8 months, or something like that, and it got really bad.
And it's going well now, though.
There are great moments, and there's transition moments.
Of course,
yes.
There
she's
is. In a new country. Too,
she's
for
in a new language. She doesn't know anyone. New
it's
culture.
Very hard.
We don't have.
You should
like,
have brought her.
We don't have all of her stuff, set up yet. Like, She's getting her routine, her food, everything's different.
And never mind American politics.
Just everything's different.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad we don't live here. We could all go out. We'd like make. I mean, I know we're moms.
It's all good. It's all good.
We would salsa dance with her.
So I have learned so many great tools over the last 7 years about how to be patient through the process. Whereas if this would have happened 10 years ago, I'd be like, get the F out of here. Like, I can't deal with this. I don't know how to handle it, the stress. And I'm just like, it's like every 2 days there's something.
Is she the same age as you?
She's 29. I'm 36. Right. Yeah.
And
so every couple of, so it's been a beautiful transition. It's been beautiful because it's like, man, there's so much to learn, so much to grow. And I just take it with like a positive mindset. Like when she'll have a moment of like anxiety or fear or concern or uncertainty, I'm like, this is going to be amazing. I'm so excited for this. Like, I love you. What do you need? How can I support
you? That's great.
If it continues for a year like this, I don't know if I'm going to be as patient, but it's like, I understood going in, like, this is not going to be this, oh, roses and sunshine. It's going to be a process.
Yeah, it's a process.
There are beautiful moments, and we're opening up, and we're communicating more than ever, and it's like, okay,
great. I really appreciate your, like, I feel like talking to you, it's not like you sit back and think about, like, what you're going to deliver with your words. You're honest because you're honest about your past, and now you're honest about the way you're living your life now. And a lot of people find that really hard. We always say, like, sometimes we'll talk to people, and you're like, you just feel like every sentence was calculated before they said it, and which is fine because that's where they feel safe to, like, you know, say those kind of things. But we're very surface. Like, when we think something, we just, like, blur it out. And sometimes we're like, shit, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. Or, like, maybe I didn't say that right.
Right. Well, okay.
Drink some more.
I'm kind of smart. I don't know. No,
but we, like...
One of the reasons they watch.
Okay, that better. I like that. One of them.
Being honest with your journey is, like, it's helpful to other people who are watching you.
Okay, I have to ask you one last question for moms. If there was one thing your mom did that was unbelievable and you hope that your mother of your children do, what would it be?
She loved me. You know, she loved me a lot.
What do we fucking say and every single day? Love them.
She gave her best with what she had. She loved me. She showed up when she couldn't. She freaking did my homework for me a lot of time because I was just like in tears and didn't know how to do it. And she would sit with me, but she would like be patient for fucking years. Mm-hmm. While I was like horrible at so many things, she showed up and she gave me a lot of love. Even if I didn't feel certain times, like, she did.
Mm-hmm. I could look, all the moms are like, oh my god.
That's because at the core, everyone, I will tell you, the biggest thing
is love.
But mothers give it and they feel like they're not giving enough. And that's the biggest. I'm just giving you
I can, I mean, listen, I took it for granted for many years of my
life. That's normal.
And I'd say that I still take it for granted a lot of the time. Like,
do call her and tell her you love. Just like, thank you, Mom.
I have to remind myself, like, because she'll be like, my baby. You know, she still treats me like a baby.
But she loves you.
Exactly. And so I just need to, like, put it past and be like, okay, I'm a grown man. It's my mom. Like, I'm just going to hug her and love her.
And you're the fourth.
Try to spoil her.
And you're the fourth.
I'm the fourth. I'm the last.
She's my little baby TJ.
Yeah, right here.
He's the only one who's allowed to get out of bed at night and come to my bed. Everyone else, get out of her!
But I would cry, scream, crying for minutes in the middle of the night, screaming for my mom until I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old.
Cool. You and how you would come through?
She would come in and I would just cry, screaming, like, I need my mom, I need my mom, until I was probably 9. And I would, like, put my leg around her, like, hug her, and just, like, cry myself to sleep. And she would always come in, and she would always be there. And she was there for me.
We're so lucky.
Let me tell you two things. Number one, we personally have, we both have learning disabilities at the Wazoo, and we're in special classes and blah, 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 all the things. We have two kids at least who learn differently. We say learn differently.
Two diagnoses.
And one can't read and one can't, he has been faking it. And finally someone's like, huh, very similar to what you're saying and has to memorize words. Yeah. But what you're saying is, for a lot of moms who have kids with special needs and have kids with different things, it's like your mom was the one who carried you, like the love carried you through, but you had to find yourself, and no one can find yourself except yourself.
That's it.
And so I think a lot of moms want to fix, but they can't. So just be there beside them and love them.
Look at them.
And they're going to go through hard times. They're going to go through hard times.
And I think you don't want to shelter your kids. Like, I wouldn't change any of the pain and adversity I went through, because I want to be as hungry in life to
it wouldn't be you.
Dream bigger. I want to be as hungry to say, man, I want to become better. How do I overcome these fears? How
I
do
know. I know. You have to teach them to be capable and resilient. And sometimes we say, we joke, I mean, but we say, like, our children right now are living, like, a pretty, like, nice life. It's better than life, you know. And they have two parents that are married. And we grew up with single moms.
With double incomes.
Yeah, and so we're like, sometimes we're like, shit, we got to do something to make these kids more resilient. Like, because we watch our single moms struggle.
Especially dude, I lived in a cabin with no electricity and no toilet in the middle of the woods with my mom, who was like, we would roll coins wake up in the morning and throw paper before school. Okay, yeah, love it. Now my kids are like,
you didn't make them do it.
No, we don't.
You make them do a paper route in the morning at 5 a.m. My dad made me get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, but there's no papers anymore.
He got me, maybe he got up at 5 a.m.
Paper routes.
I was mowing greens on golf courses at 5 a.m.
What age?
Like 13, 14.
Okay, our kids are young, so we have to.
We don't have that much land.
I was doing paper at like 10. I was doing paper routes at 10 on my bicycle.
See, now you can get arrested if you let them cross the street on their own.
You and I, the second we could make money, the two of us had jobs because we watched our moms and they had. Other kids would be like, oh, we want to go out. And they would get like $20 from their parents.
I lied so I could be a hostess. I was like a 14-year-old hostess at a bar and they would try to pick me up. And I would be, I was hustled. Not the good
hustle. Did your husband pick you up?
He was a professional hockey player.
So she picked him up.
And I yes, and he was very he's fucking handsome. He was
retired now?
Very retired.
He got injured. He got injured. A fighter.
Wow.
And I,
my kid's favorite YouTube, if you look on the search, there's all the YouTube channels. Mark Morrow fights on YouTube. Her husband fighting blood.
He's the gentlest person. They call him the gentlest person in real person. Never want to meet him on the ice.
That was like me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Are you fighting the football field?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he had all this pain. What was your husband fighting about?
In real life, I was like this loving, wanted to hug everyone, just wanted to, like...
It's a man thing, eh? Like, just because he can still get road rage. And I'm, Canadian, I just busted. I'm like, dude, settle down. It's a road rage. You need to go on the... I could tell when he needed to fight.
I don't know if it's an every man thing.
It's just...
But there are some men that just have that, you know, because I...
Flip the switch.
My husband doesn't have it.
Okay.
But don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, fair. I would never want to... If someone hurt me, I would be scared to what he would do. Well, I'd be very scared to what he would be capable of.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to fuck someone. But he doesn't... That sounds really bad. Like, he's a fucking...
He's kind of powerful. He could knock someone
huge.
Out.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's got baseball mitts for hands. Boom!
So once someone tried to, like, fight him, they were on drugs, and he just ignored them. He's like, come on, two of them. And he goes, I'm gonna fuck you up. And he turns around, and he goes, no, I'm gonna fuck you up. And they were like,
oh,
and
really
they
deep
ran,
voice.
And they were like, because he wouldn't say a word, and these fucking, and they were like, oh. I was like, oh my god, babe, there's guns, you can't do this.
I know.
You know, I'm like, but
no, there's no guns in Canada,
like,
we're fine.
I'm like, you can't do this shit, babe. Yeah. You can't do this shit. Oh, fuck.
I'm curious, how long have you guys known each other?
Since ninth grade.
Okay, I'm gonna blow your mind for a second. We are twin flames, which means through history. So our grand... Okay, I'm going to give you a quick story. They know this, but our grandmothers were friends that we didn't know about. and they used to cocktail before together, and they were both they were single, and they get together.
Their husbands died like when the children were still pretty young, and the two of them never remarried.
So they were a couple, and they got along, and it was only, her family loved my grandmother, but that's the only friend they liked of the situation.
My grandmother was like very like old school and traditional, and didn't like accept like you know our my mom's family, but my mom always said there's one friend of my dad's mom that I love, and it was her grandma, because she was such a nice lady and they had so much fun together.
So they died, and then when we got together, when we became friends, my dad's like, is that Natalie Telfer, Giselle Telfer's mm-hmm. granddaughter? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that was your grandmother's best friend.
And they had the best time together.
So then we saw
ninth grade. You heard about this?
No, fast forward later.
We met in ninth grade, but we were kind of like, you know, like skipping school together. We both like didn't finish there. And then we did our own thing in our 20s. But when we became moms, we found each other through Facebook. And that's when we ended. When our family started seeing how much time we were spending together, and they saw like, oh, that's her parents. That's her. You'll never guess. Your grandmothers were like besties. And they had so much fun together.
So then we met Gwyneth Paltrow's
Medium,
who doesn't believe in soulmates. She believes in soulmates, but not forever. They're people who come and change your life and then move on, okay? Mm-hmm. Then there's twin flames. Mm-hmm. And twin flames are people who've done life, and they keep going together, and then they divide, but they're here always to do something for someone of greater good. So when you come together, there's nothing you can do to break them.
So we have been together for centuries, and we used to be these like women feminists back in the day. Unfortunately, back in the day, we fought for our rights, but there was a time where what we believed in was more than our families, and we left our families behind for what we believed in. This is what she said. And now we've learned from that is that we need to do what we're doing and continue on our mission, but also keep our families close.
Because you believe in energies, right?
Absolutely.
And, like, you can feel people's energy. Absolutely. And you know someone who's bad. Like, the minute they walk in, you're like, holy shit, you are a bad energy.
My girlfriend, she's like, she can read everyone's energy. Yeah, like, that's not a good person.
So can I.
I'm like, gosh, but I want to, like, meet this person.
You can feel it right away. Yeah. You can feel it. Yeah, yeah, they walk in and you're like, yeah. Right? Anyways, we often joke we're one person. Like we can feel each other. Feel. It's the weirdest thing.
I'm curious. What's your full names?
Catherine.
Are you about to do a reading?
No, I'm just curious.
Catherine Elizabeth Belknap. She's Natalie Telfer. Natalie Proud.
It's Catherine Natalie.
Yeah, Cat.
Oh, right.
Cat Natalie.
I'm curious. What do you think is her biggest downfall? What's the thing that holds her back the most from actually achieving all of the dreams that she has?
What is her biggest downfall? It would be mine, too.
Well, let her answer that for you, but what do you think is hers?
What is her biggest downfall?
What's the thing that holds her back the most from having everything she desires and dreams of?
Do not answer that. You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Do not say
it. Go ahead.
Don't for you, Hilligram.
I heard you.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't thinking that.
You weren't.
No.
Say both of them if you want.
I would say that it is. I would say sometimes it's our kindness
that holds her back from having everything she wants.
Yeah. I think she accommodates.
Is that the thing that holds her back? The biggest thing? Kindness.
Is that weird?
I'm just asking.
Could be 40 pounds I'm trying to lose. I have a lot more in her.
I don't think she has anything. I don't think there's anything that holds her back. That's the truth. I'm saying something to make it up, because I think sometimes we go weird.
There's nothing that holds her back. Gotcha.
I think we fucking.
What do you think is her greatest quality? That makes her unique and special.
Her ability to be 100% unique and push everyone around her to, like, just, like, there's just this, it's a je ne sais quoi of somebody who walks in, and there's, no matter what size, what she looks like, you just walk in and you want to be around the energy of that person.
You do have a special energy.
Yeah, there's no...
Turn this into his interview.
Yeah, it's great, though. It's great. No, there's nothing, really, honestly, when you live with, we're together every day, all day. We go on vacations together with our families. Our husbands are both named Mark. Our moms are friends. They've learned to co-parent together. Everybody, her mom will pick up my kid. My kid will pick up her kid. Our life is very weird.
You're next door neighbors too.
We should be. We're almost. We live around the corner from each other.
I'm trying to buy a house beside her.
But
what's the thing that holds her back from having everything she wants?
Um,
there something that you see in her that she could let go of that you think
could, what is it, Matt?
Take her to another level of her dreams, her happiness, her joy, her love?
I feel like just being, like, really, like so thoughtful of all the people around her. Like, because if we didn't have all these people to care about and think about, and if you didn't have so much and it was just about you, you'd be able to, like, jump higher. But we have so... You have... Oh, God, she supports her family, not in, like, her family, not just the people who live in her house, more than anybody else, any of her other siblings. She's the glue. So I don't say it holds her back. I'm just saying it probably slows her down.
If I was to be selfish.
Because she's not selfish.
But what you get back from the hold back is sometimes more than what you...
Yeah, love
you,
and connection.
Yeah, like my family, you know?
Feeling good about
so you. Holding back meaning slowing down, but not nothing's holding back, right. It's just slowing down.
What do you think is her greatest quality?
I mean, like, I just think that she is so fucking capable of doing anything and making anything happen. If she has an idea, it's like a crazy idea, and she's like, all right, well, if we have this crazy idea, let's just do it. Wow. And she makes it happen.
Wow.
And I will always be her co-pilot to do that.
Wow.
Where she jumps in.
She got the chills.
Here. She jumps in. We do. It's like, let's go. Go.
Wow.
You know, I always said I wanted to do, like, when we were stay-at-home moms, I wanted to do something different, but I know my personality enough to know that I can't do it alone. And I remember hesitating, like, who would you do with? I'm like, I can't think of any friend, like, you know, or anyone around that would be able to do it. And then it turns out that we sat there and stared at each other, and I was like, we have more. There's more we can do.
People always saw us and would watch us together.
And she was like, well, then...
Before what? When did you guys start this?
No, like, they would watch us talk. Like, we would be on the street and we would be talking, but we talk in a way that's, I think, very intimate with each other. That people are like, huh. And there's always, like, there's something about you two that's not normal about other people. Like, you know what I mean? It's a weird energy.
It's like deeper than sisters.
It's deeper than that.
Because we don't have to mess with
fighting. It's an intimacy.
Right.
It's an intimacy that you can't touch, that a lot of people want to touch but can't.
Mm.
What?
It's
what's
unique. I know, we are so...
How long did you guys start this?
Seven. So it started off
when she had her second and I had my third.
Yeah, but we...
You started doing, like, what was this. The first thing you started doing? Like, an interview show? Like,
no, bringing moms together.
Instagram,
who were,
networking?
No,
or?
Just we... There. Instagram wasn't even a thing. It was moms in the community who had nobody and who would be like... We were stay-at-home moms, so we were experts, quote-unquote, because everyone else was going back to work. And they're like, is this normal? And we had a natural confidence in motherhood in ourselves, essentially. But we're like, dude, it's okay. Like, we became...
We started off with community events, bringing moms together.
Right. That's true. Seven years ago. Canada.
We used to pay for it. We'd pay for it. We'd be like, well, we want to bring these people together. And then our husbands were like, what are you... You're taking time away from the family but not bringing anything in.
Like, how much money are you bringing in? We're like...
We're losing money.
And we never said that. We're like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel really good about going out and having a great night and bringing home $100. They're like...
But you spent...
Do you know how much time you spent planning this event?
Oh, yeah.
Getting people to buy tickets? Yeah, all that. We're like... Worth every penny.
And how much was the system you used to do that? All that.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, it was because they're...
So you started off with events.
Yeah.
That's how I started off.
A dinner. Yeah. A dinner in her living room with bringing women together.
That's cool.
You started off with events.
I started off, when I was on my sister's couch. One of my mentors was like, it was 2007, 2008, and the economy was pretty bad. And I was like, I don't know how to make money or get a job. He's like, why don't you check out LinkedIn? And I'd never heard of LinkedIn, but I went on there. I started spending about 6 hours a day on there eventually, just like kind of figuring out how to optimize my page and like adding friends one by one and reaching out to connections. And I started building groups. And there was a tweet up. Do you guys remember tweet ups?
Yeah.
In 2008, there was a tweet up that I went to in Columbus. And I was like, man, there's like 200 people here. But there's like little, someone put out a tweet and it's like all these people showed up.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I could do this on LinkedIn. And I started doing the first LinkedIn networking events around the country and started doing around the world eventually. And the first one had 350 people there, and I made like $1,000. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to charge at the door. I'm going to have sponsors. And I just started like,
I'm going to
find a restaurant that will give me 10%. I'm going to write a book to sell so I have a product.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything. And
but all with the mission of helping people. Like,
connecting people.
I have to tell you, we have a manager, and he said he went to a conference.
Yeah.
That changed his life. Mm-hmm. And that person who led that conference, you were the person who changed that person's life.
Yeah, it was your teachings that led them to hold that whole conference that was life changing for people. Cool.
The person that held the conference had been to my event or something.
Something
or?
You had changed.
It was your
life.
You inspired that person.
What was the event? Do you remember?
It was something you told us today.
Yeah, it was something like it was a 5-day conference,
and then you go, and then there's like a 3-month thing, and they call you every day and remind you to reach your goals.
This is the event that got me to open up about sexual abuse.
Okay, so he literally in the car today was like, this man I taught was his mentor was the person.
So he's like, I don't know him personally, but I heard him talk about
nonstop.
You.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Interesting.
That's weird. You trickle down to even more people that you didn't even know about that you were touching.
It's amazing what one piece of content can do to impact one person's life and another person's life. Like just what you guys are doing with moms around the world.
Can I blow your mind for a second?
Go ahead.
Blow my mind.
You know it that we've been told multiple times that doctors prescribe depressed women. And moms
us to come to us.
They're like, go.
People need humor.
Like doctors.
Yes.
Doctors.
Need joy, humor.
Yes. Laughing is our.
That's
one funny thing is, yesterday we had a lot of meetings. A lot of
we just keep going. Then we got to stop.
I know, this is going to get a
you
lot of networks.
With Bree? You guys are with WME?
Yeah, Bree. We're talking about you, your agent?
Yeah. One of them. I mean, she's on the team. Yeah, she's
our lead. Is she your lead?
No.
Oh.
But she's on the team.
Yeah. Bree's great. And we met with her yesterday and we said we're going to
be awesome.
Okay. But. We went to a lot of meetings yesterday. But no, his chairs are hilarious.
It's all good. I'm like trying not to move, and I'm like.
I think the best thing is this is how we roll on nothing. You know what I mean? Like we figured out this idea came to fruition the day we texted you. So
thank you for coming here. But we had meetings yesterday.
Hear this mic. I'm like.
No, this mic.
No, we double tape it and then we strip it and then
it looks like a little dildo. It's
you
a perfect size.
You don't even know what we do on the fly.
So I was gonna say before y'all interrupted me.
Sorry, Nat. Take it away.
We're talking about laughter.
So anyways.
I think sometimes you have to cry and you have to feel hard times, but we really get through it with laughter because that's another way to do it. And yesterday we had all these meetings with the networks and everyone was like quite serious. And at the end of the day, we were so exhausted because we weren't able to be silly. And that's how we release. And that's how moms.
Silly in all of them.
We did. We were.
We tried.
But there's so much talking.
And
so much
traffic.
I've done these meetings for the last year and a half. It's like.
Yeah. And then we came home and I was just so fucking hyper because I was like, finally, let's have
be myself.
Yeah, we did. And then we had Colton. Colton was here yesterday. You did a tournament with him last week or something.
Baseball. You guys baseball.
We're on the same team.
But you didn't talk.
Sunday. I was in and out. The dog was with us, and we had to get back.
He was there, but I never talked to him.
I know.
We were on a different team, same team. I was like, well, that's not a very team.
He had a lot of
things. You said hi to everyone, but it was just like so
but he on. Had the same thing, you know, like going through being playing football his whole life, thinking he was going to be a professional football player, and then it not being.
He was having a very similar
And then, story. Like, what the fuck am I going to do now?
Right.
I guess I'll go on The Bachelor.
You know, it's interesting. I was asked to be on The Bachelor 3 times.
Oh, no, I bet.
Come on.
This is years ago, and I turned it down every time because I remember I was like, I was flattered for a second when they like asked me, and then I instantly called my sisters and I go, I just got asked to be on The Bachelor. Like, what do you think? Should I do it? They're like, hell no.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Like, I don't think you guys would be.
We have a few of those things that we've been like,
they're like, no, like, no way. Like, don't do that. It's not going to be good for you.
We've been asked to be on The Amazing Race many a time.
You guys would be great at that.
You and your girlfriend could go on that.
We can't leave our kids for that long. That's what holds us back.
Because you know what would happen is we would fail. No, it's like it could be up to 3.
Up to 3. We can't leave our kids for 3 months. We can barely leave them.
This is what happened. We would try and get kicked off, and then every time we get to the end, they'd be like, this is not the elimination round.
We'd be like, shit.
Fuck, not again. We have to go on the
trip. Where can everyone find you? What are you doing? Let's give them the social channels, cues.
School of Greatness podcast, Lewis Howes, and then I'm actually launching a documentary in a month.
Oh, where
are you going to watch it?
I filmed it in the last year and a half. It's kind of like The Secret on steroids. Do you remember the movie The Secret?
Fuck yes!
My
girlfriends used to say to me when The Secret came out, they're like, I'm reading this book, I feel like it's your fucking words and you wrote this book because you've been preaching this to us for, like, this before we had kids, for all of our teenagehood.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
we
just
believe.
Yes, it's a thing. But I love that movie was so cheesy. The book was fine, but...
The book was great. The movie was great. I was like, I need to recreate a more modern version.
The message is beautiful, but it was so cheesy the way they produced
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But it did well. It's going to be... I'm launching it in a month. It's going to be for free for a week on greatness.com.
Okay.
I can't.
So if you go to greatest.com, you can opt in and watch it when it comes out.
Oh my god.
How long is that
so much?
60 minutes.
Shit! Is it going to be an audio experience too?
It's a video visual experience.
But you can make it audio too.
I could.
Rip it off and, I mean, rip it.
Does Oprah know you're doing this? Because she's still. Oprah. She always used to bring those people on after they wrote that.
I think she does.
Let's call her.
Let's, you know what? We need to give her a quick.
Oops and I are like this.
Well, Oops and Oops is WW, and we're partners with WW.
Yeah,
Oops, so we're very close.
We're
working it out.
Amy Schumer, Katnett. I mean, I don't know. Get Lady Gaga, Katnett. Same. Not really.
What does WW stand for?
Weight Watchers, but no longer. Now it's wellness. It's not about weight.
Because they're doing a tour right now, right?
Yeah. It's just who are you as your best self?
But we're the.
WW is
because I don't do WW for weight. It's because I'm not a garbage can.
Better.
As a mom, I eat crusts and chicken fingers and French fries and that's
of
it. That's
cheese.
True.
Yeah.
Not even cheese. It's like processed cheese. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like mac and cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to take care of myself better.
It's good.
As part of it. You guys, thank you. This is fucking amazing.
This was so sweet. 20 minutes.
Double pound.
Boom.
Pound town means something different.
Pound town. Thank you so much, Laura.
Double pound would be. Okay. Twice.
Okay.
But okay, that's enough.
Double fisting.
Already two.
Double fisting too. Not so
thanks,
good.
Ladies.
Oh, bye. Thanks, guys.